This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The magic of the FA Cup is back at Portman Road for the fourth round this weekend, and a very unfamiliar opponent as Maidstone come to town. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. Who's your favourite Maidstone player then, Seb?
yeah,
we've
normally
got good
the
news
poor
on that front, though, haven't we?
We have, thankfully. Normally, the poor audience have to sit here for an hour or so and listen to me waffle on about the opposition. But thankfully, this week we've got somebody with far more knowledge who can sit here and sound far more professional than I normally do on a Thursday night. We have the down low on the weekend's opponents from Steve, who's very kindly joined us from the Maidstone podcast. We'll bring him in shortly, and he will be able to answer any questions and give us the lowdown of what we can expect on Saturday.
Looking forward to speaking to Steve. Looking forward to hearing from all of you in the chat. Welcome along to the preview show. Make yourself known. Get your comments in. Get your questions in for Steve when he's on. We'll just do the sort of first few segments and then we'll bring him in. Big, huge welcome to everybody who is watching live. If you're listening after the fact, we appreciate the hell out of you. If you're here right now, do click that little thumb-shaped thing and like the video. And Seb, I've had my say on Leicester. The boys had their say on Leicester on Tuesday night after the game. Have your say on Leicester.
Not much to add, really, based on what the flagship said and what your vlog has said. It was a carbon copy of the Portman Road game, really, wasn't it? You know, Leicester took control, scored a goal, looked like they were going to amp it up a little bit. And in the second half, we kind of took them on. Played so much better, pressed higher, subs at crucial moments, as you and me actually discussed on the pre-match show. We said, didn't we, if you can get to 60, 65 minutes and you're still in the game, then the likes of Sarmiento, Broadhead and Hutchinson could prove crucial. And they were, and it's a brilliant point, you know, to get 4 points from these two games when you take into account Morsy missing, striker issues up front. You know, they're an excellent side. I know you and me gave them a lot of praise on the pre-match show on Sunday night. They are an excellent, excellent side, and it's a brilliant point. And the scenes in the away end looked fantastic. And it's just, you know, it's more ammunition is into this, the fact that this side just never know when they are beaten. And we've always got a chance. If we can get a chance at any point in the game, the chances are we will take it. And now we have this little bit of a respite with this weekend's game. The window will close before Preston. We can see who we can get into the building. More on that potentially in a second. But Leicester is a brilliant point, a brilliant performance in the second half. And a really, really good way to end the league campaign for January. As you said, we've done Leeds home and away. We've done Leicester home and away. We've done Southampton away. So hopefully now the fixtures will ease a little bit.
And you just got to match Southampton's points total. And we do have a game in hand on Leeds now. And I'm not entirely sure on the maths on that. We're 2 points ahead, but we've a game in hand. So it's not as easy a sell, but just incredible again to still be right up there. You spoke, Seb, about the possibility of a new face, and we have a name, and it's not Sam Gallagher. It's Ali Al-Hamadi, who you might have known from Wickham, and he went on loan to AFC Wimbledon last season, and he's there permanently now. He has 19 goal contributions in 22 starts in League Two. And if you just look at his entire Wimbledon run there, I know we're going to have bad memories of signing strikers with great records from Wimbledon in recent season, but every player is different. Every player is unique. 27 goals in 48 starts. He can definitely do it at League Two level, Seb. What sort of addition do you imagine? That would be 21 years old, by the way, really young.
Yeah, he's a good age, isn't he? I think he's viewed as one of the projects. You know, we know we signed Gaston Ahadmé kind of in a bit of a panic on the deadline day in the summer 2022. I don't think this is a panic buy by any means. I think he's got really good attributes. You know, he's very quick, he's very athletic. He clearly knows where the back of the net is from his time at Wimbledon. If we'd have sat here perhaps on January the 2nd and said, you know, you're going to get to a week before the window closes and one of the most substantial leagues will be a League Two striker, we potentially might have thought all the windows not gone very well. But you know, it's where we are at this point in time. We don't want to rush and make a wrong signing and leave ourselves with a millstone around our neck if we give a hefty contract to a 29 30 31 year old to get us through this period when George Hirst is out. That's not what we're about anymore. That's not what we're going to do. In McKenna, we trust, obviously. You know, if the data team and McKenna have seen something they like and something they can work with as a bit of a project, who can dip in and out with Jackson and Broadhead in the number nine for the next few months, and that's what it's going to be. So yeah, hopefully we can get this one done. We definitely need somebody, don't we? I've seen some stuff, you know, saying maybe we could muddle through to the end of the season with Broadhead in the nine, Jackson in the nine, and then Sarmiento and stuff in the wide positions. But I think we do need a body. Tick, klaxon, Seb said the word body, coming in before the window closes. And if it's going to be him, happy days. You're looking at 1 million, 1.5 million, I would guess, as a fee. He's currently away with Iraq in the Asia Cup. So even if we do sign him, if they stay in the competition, I don't think he'd be around for Preston. You're probably looking at West Brom before he kind of, you know, makes a debut for us. But yeah, if he comes in, happy days. It's a bit interesting. It's kind of, you know, do you think it could be a bit of posturing maybe to Blackburn as well to say, you know, the Gallagher stuff's gone very quiet from what we understand. They're not perhaps willing to sell till they've got a replacement in the building. Could it be a bit of, well, we've got other targets, we can move on if need be. He's out of contract in 6 months' time, so it's kind of their last chance to get a big fee for him. It might be a bit of posturing on our part, but if he arrives, happy days. It's an extra option up front, full of pedigree, athletic, direct. We know McKenna likes that from his front pressing kind of strikers, and if they can work with him and they think they can mold him, then happy days.
I'm going to agree with the chat, Seb. I'm well behind Al-Hamadi, but I think I also want your 29, 30-year-old on loan with a big promotion bonus. And I think they need to do another deal on top of that. I don't want to be negative because I'm all in on the project and I'm all in on McKenna, but a 21-year-old from League Two doesn't want to be going into a situation where it's like, right, in you go, gets promoted, by the way. I'm being a bit facetious with that comment, but you'd be leading the line in a battle against Leeds, Southampton and Leicester. So I would like to see the long in the tooth. Might be expensive if it's a loan, but you've got to.
Well, a loan I've got. A loan I've got,
haven't you?
Yeah, I've got a loan coming in. I've got no problem with, because you're not committing yourself to anything. But, you know, we don't want to get desperate and sign a Premier League player on a 3-year contract, for example, on high wages, because that could have implications in the future with FFP and stuff. If it's an experienced loan, happy days. I just don't think there's much out there. The Athletic podcast today I was listening to was discussing the absolute dearth of transfers in the Premier League this January. Normally, you need those pieces to fall, don't you? You know, the Premier League signs somebody, which frees up one of their squad to go down to the Championship, which frees up somebody to go down to League One. It all trickles down the pyramid, but this year it's just not happening at all, is it? It seems to be kind of Gallagher or Kiefer Moore. Kiefer Moore now apparently is going to stay at Bournemouth, so it's kind of Gallagher or bust, and we'll have to see how the rest of the window unfolds.
All I'll say though, Seb, never underestimate the last 2 days of a transfer window to go completely mental, and someone who's made two signings ends up having made nine by the end of the window. Yeah. I'm not even joking. Even in January, you see that happen. So, yeah, perhaps we might see Al Mardy in the building, maybe before we're next in league action. Someone who's going to be in the building until 2025, hopefully, is Massimo Luongo. This has all changed, hasn't it? We were start of the season. It was we were passing around the sort of perceived wisdom between ourselves. Oh, well, so now Taylor's come in, Luongo's certain age, you know, he's got this thing with Australia in the winter, you know, he'll gradually be phased out. Nope.
It's great, isn't it? I'm really happy for him because it's such a great story. All know, obviously, he comes in, he's training with Middlesbrough, can't get a game. He comes in, he spends a couple of months getting up to speed. He then looks absolutely phenomenal for us at the back end of last season. He's still got this ridiculous record, hasn't he, where he's only lost something like five games in the 13, 14 months he's been playing for us. And I think it's fully deserved. Like you say, in the summer, we all sat here and we thought, right, 1.5 million quid on Jack Taylor means he's a guaranteed starter alongside Morsy. And maybe there'll be times when McKenna might play a more solid three in the middle, potentially. Maybe Luongo comes in for those kind of games. That hasn't happened. And he's just made that position alongside Morsy his own. And when he's not playing, we do miss him. We miss that link up in the left-hand channel with Davis. And I think it's fully deserved. You know, he took the opportunity to retire from international football just before Christmas, which freed him up for the Asia Cup. So yeah, I think it's a great bit of business. It's a year extension with an option, so very sensible. Keeps him in and around the place. He does seem like one of these great personalities, great characters. If you watch his interview with the club, he's the kind of person you get the impression is great to have around the dressing room, adding the experience and the knowledge to some of the younger kids. So yeah, an absolute win-win. Well done for getting it done. And yeah, we'll see who's next. Hopefully, presumably it's going to be Flaggy pretty soon because he's out of contract in the summer as well, isn't he?
Yeah, good point. I'm just going to answer this question. Do you think the thrill of deadline day makes the window a worthwhile concept? It's one of those things that we just accept in football as a reality. It is ridiculous, isn't it? Transfer deadline in the middle of the season. But it's good fun. And what's his name? Oh, Jim White on the Sky TV made a career out of wearing his yellow tie doing it. We are going to hear from Steve from the Stones Aged podcast in just one more segment. We just need to hear. We're very lucky because we're going to hear from Natasha Thomas, who spoke to Richard yesterday. ITFC Women are at home to Pompey in the quarterfinals of the League Cup on Sunday. Pompey, top of the table, won five in a row. In a weird twist of fate, the two sides, says Rich, will meet in the league as well. How often does that happen? Next week at the AGL. Here is a quick clip of what Natasha Thomas had to say about it. And then we're going to speak to Steve from the Stones Age podcast.
And Portsmouth, a team we've got a lot of recent history with, a really tough opposition. Are you looking forward to it? You must be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, they are a very, very good side, but we're a very good side also. So we just need to make sure that we take the tactics that Joe gives us and put that onto the pitch and just don't stop till the final whistle, because ultimately if it's 0-0 in the 90th minute and we score a winner or whatnot, we just need to make sure we're focused and keep switched on no matter what the score is, because the game can change in so many ways. It can toss and turn onto us or onto them. But I think for us, it's a big game. There's no hiding from it. There's two big games on the trot at home, which we'd love to get so many people down there behind us, and we can show them that we should be playing at a higher standard, and we'll be showing them against a very good side in their tier three.
You see the full interview with Rich and goal machine, 150 goals in 200 games, Natasha Thomas, elsewhere on the channel. Right, big welcome in the chat, please. We're going to bring Steve in, Steve Hemsley from the Stones Aged podcast. Steve, I'm going to hand over a little bit more to Seb for this segment, but can I just say on behalf of all our listeners, all our fans, thank you. Welcome. Maidstone are very welcome to Portman Road. And I think we all hope you make a load of money and have a great day on Saturday. And I've immediately removed him from the stream. Oh, which one? There you go. My bad. That's I'm what still I wanted here. To do, really Steve. Welcome. Yeah. Go.
Steve, hi, how you doing? Thank you hi, so Steve. Much nice for joining us.
Yeah, really real pleasure, guys. Really nice. Really pleasure.
Excellent. Talk to us about Maidstone. Give us a brief overview of how the league season is going so far. Obviously, it's not a club that many of our fans will know much about. So give us the background of Maidstone, how you became a fan and how the league season is going so far.
Yeah, well, yeah, a point of history. I mean, let's start with this season. It's okay. I mean, the cup the cup's been the fantastic thing. We're fourth in National League South, which is obviously the league below the National League. We got relegated from the National League last year, finishing bottom. This year, possibly going to get promoted again. We won't win the league. Yeovil Town are way ahead at the top of the league, but we're sitting in fourth in the playoffs, which is more than happy after last season. Yeah, first time ever the club's got to the fourth round of the FA Cup in over 100 years, which is something quite special. Those who don't know might have forgotten, Maidstone were in the Football League in the 90s. We won the National. We played 3 years in the old fourth division and went bust and dropped all the way back down to county football. And it took us a long, long time to get back up to where we are now. But in my 40 years of watching Manchester United, this is arguably the biggest game I would have come to in front of the biggest crowd that we played in front of. So, yeah, the excitement is amazing around the town.
And we were discussing in the green room before we came on. It's not we have actually met before in a pre-season friendly. We were trying to work out when it was. We think, judging from the program picture you sent me, we think it might have been early 90s. If anyone in the chat can remember playing at Maidstone, sort of maybe 1990, 1991, we need Craig or Dave here from the podcast, because they'd know instantly from some of the names on the team sheet. So we have met before in a pre-season game, but it will be the first time we've ever met in kind of competitive action. What's the overall kind of opinion, let me ask, on the draw? So you get through to the fourth round of the cup. You must have been watching the draw and seeing some of the sides that were still left in the competition. Was it a bit of disappointment, or are you happy because it's going to be, well, looking at the ticket sales, it's going to be a pretty decent crowd at Portman Road? What was the overall view from the fans' point of view of the draw when it was made?
I think it was a good draw. I mean, it could have been better for us. It could have been worse. It could have been a lot worse. We could have been away at Newport County or somewhere, you know, or whatever, you know. So for me, I was very happy with it. I think it's a brilliant draw to have a club that's near the top of the championship. It's all the luck of the draw, isn't it? I mean, with greatest respect, in the last round, we didn't really want Stevenage. You know, in the third round, again, you could have had you guys or Liverpool or Man United. It's just the luck of the draw, isn't it, really? But I think for Maidstone fans to come up to somewhere like Portman Road, I think it's a really, really good draw. To be honest with you, it probably won't go any further than that. But this is our final, really. I mean, for a club to win seven games to get as far as we have in the FA Cup, you need a lot of luck, a bit of skill, and yeah, it's the magic of the cup, isn't it, really?
And 4,500 fans. You're taking over the entirety. The cobble stand is the stand I normally sit in, and I think guys are taking over the entirety of that stand. So it'll be a great backing for the team on Saturday as well.
Yeah, we could have sold more. Yeah, I think all the tickets sold out within 100 minutes on Saturday.
Brilliant.
That was after season ticket holders. So the public sale, there's probably about, I don't know, half of them left for public sale. So yeah, I think we could have probably sold six, but I think the FA rules are you only have to give 15%. So 4,500, that's all we've got. That's all we're bringing, but it's still a lot of people.
Yeah, excellent stuff. How's the recent form been going into the game in both sort of the league and the cup? How's things been in recent weeks? You say you're in the playoffs at the moment. Is that kind of the aspirations for the season, to finish in the playoffs? You've mentioned you think Yeovil are too far gone. So is the playoffs the target now? And how's it been in recent weeks going in?
Yeah, well, I mean, as you'd expect, for the distraction of the FA Cup, you know, I mean, I think we've lost two and won one and drawn one of the four games since we played Stevenage. But having said that, we haven't been playing our strongest side. Sam Corn, who got the winner against Stevenage, he's been suspended for the last couple of games. We've been resting players who aren't cup tied. This is one of the downsides for non-league sides, is that obviously it's really hard for a team like Maidstone to sign players at this stage of the season who haven't already played in the FA Cup, because obviously you're not allowed to play if you play for someone else. So, for example, you know, we've got five strikers, four of them are cup tied. And the one we've just signed is Manny Duku from Manchester 62 in Gibraltar, who used to play for Cheltenham and Barnet. He is probably likely to be our only striker, and he's only played one game, which was Tuesday, and his second game for Maidstone is likely to be at Portman Road in the fourth round of the FA Cup. So he's thinking Christmas.
Wow, yeah, what a story that is. Let's talk about the FA Cup campaign then. So when we were down in League One for a couple of years, I was bemoaning the fact, as many town fans were, that the FA Cup for us started in November time. But for you guys, it starts in September. Is that right, in the qualifying rounds?
It does in National League South. Yeah, if you're in the National League, it's a fourth qualifying round, which has been won before Ipswich started last year. Only one before that. As soon as you drop down to National League South, you have to play two extra games. So we come in the second qualifying round. But obviously, there's three rounds before that, before Maidstone even get involved. So there's village sides who play in the extra preliminary round, which starts in August, I think. But we started in September. Yeah, I think this would be our seventh game. So if you guys had to play seven games, you'd win the cup, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Obviously, it was a first round victory over Chesham, a second round victory over Barrow, and Stevenage was the big one last time out with the 70 odd places between you and Stevenage in the pyramid. Talk to us about that game and how it unfolded.
Yeah, it's amazing, really. I think Mason got a 3G pitch, so I think Stevenage didn't fancy that. The manager Steve Evans, you know, he after the game, he was very gracious, you know, but. Yeah, before he's always getting his excuses in early, as a lot of managers do, league managers, when they come down to non-league sides.
We're familiar, Steve, don't worry.
Yeah, you get your excuses in early, you know, the pitch being a leveler, but I won't use it as an excuse type thing before the match, knowing that if you do lose, you can use it as an excuse afterwards. It was only 1-0. We rode our luck. We took the lead, a penalty, and they hit the bar, they hit the post. They should have, they had loads of chances. The thing about Maidstone, we've got a very good defence. So we might not have many strikers fit or available for Saturday. We've got a pretty good defence, and it held firm. And yeah, I mean, I did put a bet on us to beat Stevenage. I was that confident that we would beat them, and we held out. And yeah, I'd say in my 40 years of watching the club, we've never got past the third round. So there's always one club, isn't there? One non-league team that tends to do quite well every year. It's never been us before, but out of 732 teams enter the FA Cup every year. We're down to the last 32. And for Maidstone to be there alongside teams like Ipswich Town is quite special.
Yeah, phenomenal stuff. You mentioned there about your defence. And obviously, we do have a link between the two clubs. We have George Fowler, who made an appearance for us under Mick McCarthy. We played a League Cup game very early in the season in 2017-18 against Crystal Palace. And Mick kind of played a load of youths and stuff. One of them was Luke Wolfenden, who's one of our star centre-halves. Were you there? Were you, Ben?
So do
you
remember? I've seen him play.
You've seen George Fowler play. Yeah, and I gather he's doing pretty well down at Maidstone, Steve.
Yeah, he was player of the year last season, which when you finish bottom of the league is quite it's hard work, isn't it? But he was a player of the year. I think this is his third or fourth year or something. He came from Aldershot. He's a great guy. He's a really good defender. He's part of that sort of back four. He's captain sometimes when Gavin Hoyt isn't around. He's great. I mean, he's a great guy, and I think I can imagine he's really looking forward to coming back to Portman Road.
Great stuff. And the manager, so George Ellacobi, most of our fans will know him from his spell at Wolves under Mick McCarthy, you know, Premier League appearances, played at Cole U, so just down the road from us in Essex. Talk about ex-player for you, obviously. Talk about him and the job he's done since moving into the management role.
Yeah, it's a funny one because he took over in January last year and he didn't win a single game in the National League as manager of Maidstone United. He didn't win a single game. I think we lost probably, we didn't win in like 19 matches. There's no other manager, and all the fans would say this, there's no other manager who would be a caretaker manager, not win a game from January to May and get given the job by the owners of the club. So we all thought the owners of the club were crazy because this guy has never won a match. He's never managed a team before. But obviously our owners thought, okay, it wasn't his team, to be fair, that got relegated. He took over from another manager. They gave him the chance. And we had the co-owner, Oliver Ash, on our podcast last week. And all three of us on the podcast all apologising to the owner, saying, look, we owe you an apology. None of us thought George should have got the job. Now, we were wrong. They were right. He's done an amazing job. He's a real motivator. He could still play. I mean, you'll see him on where you'll see the games. He is absolutely a man mountain. He's fit enough. He could still play at a certain level, but he just gets so much out of the team. And we see it at every club, at whatever level, your level, our level. Players play for the manager, don't they? Or they don't play for the manager. You lose the dressing room. And George, and that's one of the reasons we've probably done so well in the FA Cup, because he'll spur them on. He will give them an amazing team talk on Saturday. It probably won't be enough to, you know, get a result, but he will make sure those players are competitive and give their all. So, yeah, he's amazing. And not just him, there's the assistant Craig Fagan, who's also an ex-Premier League player, played for Derby County, Hull City. So between them, they've got some amazing experience. They've got some great contacts, and it's their first manager's job. So they're starting down there. which is where other managers have started. You know, Martin O'Neill, for example, he started in the National League and you earn your stripes, as opposed to nowadays where some Premier players just go straight in and manage a Championship side and it all goes wrong. He's doing it the right way. And Mick McCarthy, yeah, he was at the Stevenage game, and I think he's a bit of a mentor to George. So he was giving him advice, and yeah, I mean, the whole football family, isn't it? But he's done an amazing, amazing job.
And how will he set you up? What kind of formation will you play? What are the tactics? What can we expect to see from Maidstone at the weekend?
Nine at the back. No, I don't know. As I said, we haven't got any strikers. We've got one up top, and you know, the goalkeeper's very good. Lucas Coverland, he was at Port Vale last year. He would have played against you guys, wouldn't he? Maybe he didn't. But Lucas Coverland, yeah, ex-Brazilian under 23, Port Vale goalkeeper. Right back probably be our captain, Gavin Hoyt, who's played for Arsenal. We've got Reece Greenwich, who's played for Bolton Wanderers. We've got some really good players, really good players. And on their day, if they all click, and then midfield, we've got obviously Bivesh Garon, who scored the BBC's goal of the round in round two against Barrow, which is worth looking at on the telly, 30-yarder. Sam Corn, who scored the winner against Stevenage, and Manny Duku up front on his own. It probably will only be his second game, and I can't speak for Joel Elokobi what side he's going to put out, but whoever he puts out, I mean, for the players, it's amazing, for footballers, isn't it, for non-league players to play at a great stadium that you guys have got, and to play in the fourth round of the FA Cup, it'd be the highlight for most of their careers, I expect, as well.
And obviously you're going on Saturday. So realistically, what do you expect from the game? What's your hopes for Saturday?
Well, I put three bets on for this game. I've put a bet on Mason to win, because I always do. I've put a bet on us to win. What are the odds? 22 to 1, I think it was. Which I think is pretty good in a two-horse race. Although it's not really. Although it's like, you know, a proper horse and, you know, a horse trying to catch you up. But yeah, and I put one bet on for us to win or draw. And I put a bet on for Ipswich to win 5-1, which is probably what it should be on a normal day. It should be a 5-1. If we score a goal, it'd be amazing. I think you guys should put five passes on a normal day. But it's the FA Cup. Lincoln City versus Burnley. I think you guys got turned over by them, didn't you, as well? And also, I think I'm right in saying that you guys have lost 9 out of your last 10 FA Cup fourth round games. So, if the stars align...
That's before you've even set our third round record, Steve, for God's sake.
It's football, isn't it? It's great. Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows? I mean, 1 in 100 times we beat you. You never know. You never know, but... It'll be a great, for Stones fans, it'll be an amazing day out, and we're just enjoying it. It's a great club to go to, you guys. Very friendly club, family club. It'll just be a fantastic, fantastic day for everyone at Manchester United. I'd say to be the last non-league team in England and Wales still in the FA Cup is a real honour, really. And it's quite something to be proud of from our club. And hopefully if we don't get past you guys, I hope you guys go on and go a bit further and get a great draw the next couple of rounds.
It's a phenomenal achievement, isn't it, for you guys to get to this stage. I understand the money you've raised so far has gone on some stadium redevelopments with toilet blocks and internet access and that kind of stuff. So hopefully, like Ben said earlier, you'll get a decent payday out of it and you'll be able to upgrade things a little bit further.
Yeah. The stadium's only 10 years old. The capacity is only 4,500 at the moment. I think they're building a few... It's not very exciting things, is it? New toilet blocks, but I'd much rather they built a big new stand, but it's not going to go that far. But yeah, for the club, I mean, they needed to replace the 3G pitch because every 5 years it's FIFA tested and you have to replace it. And that's about, I don't know, £250,000. So the cut runs come at the right time, really. If we go up, we need a bit more money as well, because the National League is a tough league for teams that haven't got loads of money. I mean, you can be bankrolled, yeah, sure, like Salford City or Wrexham, or you could be a normal non-league side, and it's really hard. And so that all the money will help. And yeah, I mean, maybe we'll get a draw on Saturday and take you back to the Gallagher.
Well, I've agreed to come on your podcast, haven't I? If you do beat us, I'll happily come on for you next week. I'll let you have that one and we can discuss the game then. Just quickly before we wrap up, we were discussing in the green room, for the fans that might not know, the Ipswich Town fans, who would you say is probably Maidstone's most famous player who a lot might have heard of in the past?
Yeah, there's two. There's David Sadler, who signed from Maidstone to Manchester United and played in their European Cup winning team. And there's Chris Smalling, who obviously also ended up at Man United via Fulham. They're probably the two players that have done the best. There was also, when we were in the Football League, we had players like Warren Barton, who went from us to Newcastle United. We had Steve Butler, who went to Leicester City, ended up managing Leicester City with Peter Taylor. So there's quite a few. Obviously, since we've dropped down the last 25 years or so, then they don't go, they don't tend to make that bigger jump. But yeah, David Sadler and Chris Smalling are probably the two biggest names.
Great stuff. Just a couple of questions I've seen come in from some of the chat. Do Maidstone have any famous fans that we might have heard of?
Barry from EastEnders.
Brilliant.
And
something inside so strong.
He lives in Maidstone. He goes, and I don't know. No, it's funny, that I had this conversation with someone else about that. I don't think we have many famous fans. There might be one out the woodwork. Maybe we'll discover.
Didn't we have Timmy Mallett or something last year, Seb?
I think so. That was
Bracknell.
Yeah, I think, one of them, wasn't it? Yeah, Timmy Mallett was there, wasn't he? And a quick question from Neil as well. Would you prefer a win over us on Saturday or promotion back to the National League at the end of the season?
Personally, it'd be a win over you.
Fair enough. Yeah.
For the future of the club financially, it'll be, if we go to the National League, it's going to cost us an arm and a leg. If we beat you, it's money for next season to then go out and get promotion.
Brilliant. Great stuff. Thank you so much for coming on, Steve. Where can we find you on the various socials and stuff?
At Steve Hemsley on X and Insta. And the Stone's Age podcast is available on any of your podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. But so there's quite a fun one we did after Stevenage, and we'll probably do one following the Ipswich game, whatever the results. So really excited. Thank you guys for inviting me on your show.
Brilliant stuff. Enjoy the weekend. If you get to Ipswich early, head for the Greyhound pub. They're opening for breakfast baps. You'll go and see some of the Blue Monday lot in there, and I'm sure they'll get you breakfast or a beer or something.
Brilliant, guys. Thank you very much. Take care.
Cheers, Steve. Thanks very much.
Legend, Steve. Thank you so much. Seb, you've got to love that. Doesn't matter whether your club is Sunderland, Leeds or Maidstone. You hear the passion that guy spoke with.
It's brilliant, isn't it? You know, I jumped on with Steve before we went live tonight, and we were having a chat and stuff. And it's a cliche. I know it's a cliche that gets rolled out every time the cup weekends come around, but it's just so nice to have something different, isn't it? You know, I know we were all sat there watching the fourth round draw, and we were probably hoping for Everton away, Wrexham away for me, because I live, Spurs away, West Ham away, something big. But we draw Maidstone, and it's like, okay, well, that's great, because, you know, firstly, it's brilliant for them because the money they'll get, hopefully, like Steve just said, they can, you know, can go towards the running of the club. It's great for us because it's something different, isn't it? You know, it's not the same old tried and trusted, you know, it's not Preston away, Plymouth away, Sunderland at home or something. It's something different, and they're going to have an amazing support on the weekend. 4,500 Maidstone fans taking over the Cobbold Stand, and phenomenal stuff. Brilliant insight from Steve. Great to hear from him, and wish those guys all the best on the weekend.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Right. Who on earth is going to play in this game then, Seb? When Steve was laying it out, he made it quite easy that we were going to, roll over Maidstone. But we know the pattern of play needs a certain amount of first-teamers in to maintain. I don't think any Ipswich fans would begrudge the 4,500 celebrating a goal, at least, would they?
No, not at all.
Stadium. What are you thinking team-wise? I'll start you off. Christian Walton in goal.
Yes, that's the guarantee. McKenna normally does go strong in cups, doesn't he? We've been surprised in recent rounds how few kind of players he rests. I guess we're so used to, Hurst, Lambert, especially Mick, resting, the entire first 11 and playing a mixture of kids and players on the way back from injury. So I think Walton, like you say, will definitely be the keeper. Morsey will definitely play. He'll need a game because he's not featured since the... since the FA Cup it was Wimbledon at the start of the month, so he'll definitely play. I'd imagine a back four along the lines of Domball right back, Twan Zabian Edmondson in the middle, Cameron Humphreys left back, Morsey and Taylor in midfield, and then Hutchinson, Harness, Sarmiento behind, and then presumably Broadhead in the nine, I would guess, is a chance to kind of keep practicing that role, keep playing that role. Maybe Travis in midfield instead of Taylor if they want to try and get more minutes into him, because he's looked pretty done, hasn't he, at 60 minutes in both games so far, so it's a chance to get another hour under his belt. And then maybe, I guess, we'll see Buabo off the bench, maybe a couple of youth prospects on the bench to go in the second half if it works out okay. But yeah, I think squad players, a few first teamers, Morsey back importantly, and I presume Broadhead as the nine to learn the role a little bit more. What do you think on that? Do you agree with that, or do you think he'll go younger and more squad players? Or
I don't know. It's one of those, Seb, where the best case scenario is you go reasonably strong and it's done by half time. And then perhaps if you've started Morsey and Broadhead, you could even take them out at half time if you wanted, or just go up to 55 minutes or something like that. I mean, it's fantastic to have, like you say, the debate being which of our excellent players in our brilliantly sort of rehearsed pattern of play we're going to be selecting in this one. But it does need, the engine needs oil, doesn't it? And you need some quality right through the spine. But like you said, if present are Walton, Edmondson, Morsey, and possibly Broadhead right down the middle of the team, that's a lot of quality, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. That's the spine that you're going to need. I mean, he's played Wolverhampton in the third round, didn't he? Wolverhampton has featured in some of the cup games. And I guess with it being a not as hectic schedule, there'll be, 5 days recovery from the Leicester game, and then a full week, clear week, until Preston. So maybe he will give some of the first teamers a run out and look to make those changes, like you say, if he gets to 45 minutes, 60 minutes, and we're a few goals in front, then he can introduce kids off the bench or other players that need to get some minutes and just keep them ticking over before February ramps up. Because February, there are a lot of games in February with the rearranged Rotherham game. You're talking potentially a fifth round FA Cup game. We've got a couple of midweekers as well with Millwall. So I think it'll be a useful opportunity. He'll go slightly stronger, I would think, than probably most of us will be used to. And as you say, if you can be professional about it and get the job done, then there's your chance to rest people before the league season ramps up again the following weekend. Maybe we'll have a new striker in by midday tomorrow. You never know who they can unleash, somebody from left field that nobody has considered yet.
I don't believe you, Seb.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah,
I think that might be for the Preston game. Guys, obviously, we've not got league stuff to talk about, so we will take some questions if you so have any. Get them in, and we'll just have a look at the February fixtures. Seb, we just need to plug this book, which is going to be available from the Greyhound. Could you take that one?
Yeah, sure. So Greyhound open from 9:30 on Saturday. Obviously, it's a 12:30 kickoff. So it's open from 9:30 with the same breakfast baps they did before Norwich, which were absolutely excellent. There's two choices. It's meat or veggie, but they are brilliant. Make sure you get yourselves down there nice and early to enjoy that.
You need a bath afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a new book on sale as well. It's 10 quid in the pub. It's called One of Our Own. It's a book written by Town fan Rob Parker, and it follows the journey of a passionate family celebrating the legacy of Ipswich Town from the glory days up until the modern era. It's just 10 quid, written by a fan. Great for kids, for families, for any Ipswich Town fans, really. So good price, 10 quid. Get yourself down there. Get your breakfast BAP. Get yourself a beer. Get yourself the book before you head down to the ground.
I've got another reason you should buy that book, Seb.
Go on.
When the podcast first started and I didn't know how to use a computer, my friend Guy did our graphics. This is before we had Rich, who's a bit of a whiz kid with all of this. All of this stuff you can see now has come out of his brain. Guy did our first sort of load of graphics, you know, bulk stuff to put on the podcast and stuff. And he has illustrated this book. He's a very talented graphic designer, and obviously, strangely, you, although many of you won't know, although if you went to the first Blue Monday live show, you would have met Guy because he was there. But yeah, another link back to the podcast. So.
And another reason to go and buy the book. Yeah, great stuff. Make sure you get down there. Only 10 quid, blinding deal, and enjoy the breakfast BAPs as well.
Get some questions in if you want us to do any Q&A. Seb. Let's have a little look ahead then. If we're assuming foregone conclusion, which is a terrible thing to assume with the magic of the FA Cup, that this will look after itself. I'm not entirely sure when the next round would be.
It goes midweek, doesn't it, from the fifth round, I think. So am I right in thinking it's the week commencing the 26th?
Oh God! So you'd have.
I might be wrong, but I think the fifth round goes midweek, and they abolish replays at that point, don't they?
Yeah. So there's no replays from round five. But God, look at that schedule in terms of 10th, 14th, 17th, 3-game week, 17th, 20th, 24th, 3-game week, and then 24th, presumably whether you get the Tuesday or the Wednesday, would then be a 3-game week leading up to, please don't be a big game, Plymouth away. Christ. You do not want an away draw before that. So, look, I know we've spoken about the disproportionately difficult run of fixtures we had, and we were looking forward to this. But remember, the kind of frantic pace of it can be a bit of an equaliser. But do you want to just give me your thoughts going through there? So Preston away is a long journey, but we think we're probably better than Preston and they like to get on Ryan Lowe's back. Yep. West Brom at home is difficult, but you'd rather play them at Portman Road than at the Hawthorns. Millwall away, had a good game against them, didn't we, earlier in the season, already beaten them. Swansea away, it's a lot of away games, isn't there? With Luke Williams just trying to figure his way out. That should be an open game as well from what I've seen so far. Rotherham at home. You'd rather play Rotherham at home. Birmingham and the return of Tony Mowbray. They'll look hard when you read them out. But if we're doing our points totting up and whatnot, you're really targeting this month for 2 points per game, aren't you?
I think so. Yeah, we all want to be coming out with 12 points, don't we? Going into that potential FA Cup fifth round after the Birmingham games, and there's some pretty winnable games in there. I think, you know, we've only played 2 games in January, so it's nice that the fixture list ramps back up now with the league action. I think Preston away, you know, I know they kind of held Leeds at bay until their, what was it, 93rd, 94th minute, but we, you know, pretty convincing at Portman Road, the 4-2 victory, and we batter this. It's not really a fair thing to make, but we did batter them in the summer. In the preseason friendly up there as well. So I think that was pretty straightforward. West Brom, they schooled us at the Hawthorns, you know, the Sky game at the 5:30 kickoff. We didn't really
make a really quick comment. Horse Hollerer says Swansea are 5-0 down at half time. And I've just looked.
And it's Bournemouth they're playing, isn't it, in the cup?
He is not lying. Maybe there'll be a new Swansea manager if this got absolutely beaten up by Southampton. And they've got Leicester away in midweek.
They looked very, very open, didn't they? So potentially that's a good
yeah.
a good chance to go there and get something. West Brom won't be easy, but they've kind of tailed off since they beat us. You know, they were beaten by Norwich last weekend and didn't look amazing. So as you say, you'd rather have them at Portman Road than at the Hawthorns. Millwall on a Tuesday night, you know, that won't be the easiest, but you've got to be fairly confident going there. Rotherham is a there's no such thing as a home banker, but you know, Rotherham's away form has been really poor in the league so far this season. So you're looking at that one as a guarantee. And then Birmingham, what will they be like under Mowbray? You know, Jay Stansfield to come to Portman Road. They did a job on us for 20-25 minutes at St Andrews, and it took those two late goals from Harness to get ourselves back to get a point out of that game. But yeah, I think you're looking at 12 points minimum from that, because let's be honest, Southampton, I don't know what their next six games are. I'm not sure when they start going to the likes of Leeds, and Leeds is the last day. I'm not sure when they're going to Leicester, but they'll be looking at 2 points per game for the foreseeable. So we've just got to keep matching them, keep churning out the results, and see where we sit going into the final 10 games or so of the season.
Yes. Let me just answer this question. Big Kiefer Moore is on the bench for Bournemouth. Okay. He has not started. Guys, if you've got any questions, we will take them now. Can I take this one from Rob, Seb? It says, Ben, a championship question. Why were Leeds and Norwich allowed by the EFL to agree to bring a game forward to last night from later in the season, hence Leeds now closing the gap? So you just need agreement from both clubs. I actually heard Daniel Farker on this. I think it was vaguely similar. Did we do it earlier in the season? Did we bring one forward and get it out the way? I can't quite remember.
I think we did something last season. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, I think as long as the clubs agree, there's no real issue with it, is there? Because it eases a bit of congestion sort of going forward. So I think if everyone agrees and you've got a blank space, I think it's not that much of a bigger deal. And we've certainly done it in the last couple of years, haven't we?
Yes. Sean, is Gary Lineker hosting Match of the Day from Portman Road on Saturday, and what welcome will he receive from the town fans?
I think it's Alex Scott, isn't it? I think Alex Scott is the... I think she said she's the host.
Oh, it's on BBC, is it?
Yeah, it's BBC 12:30, yeah. I'm guessing whatever game they've got on the Sunday night or Saturday night, they'll have somebody bigger than us against Maidstone. So I'm assuming Lineker, Shearer, Mika Richards will be at that one.
Something controversial, people. Seb?
Go on.
We had a lot of pops at Plymouth fans last year for being salty about not getting enough credit a lot of the time. So we do need to be careful of that ourselves at the moment, don't we? I know it's frustrating when you feel like you should be talked about in glowing terms all the time, but we shouldn't necessarily grumble in the same way we grumbled at Plymouth fans for doing the same thing last year, right?
But that's just football tribalism, sure
that,
isn't by
the
it?
Way, in the chat
that's just football. That's irrational football fans. We're all going to take that. You know, we're watching the Leicester game, and as soon as Don Goodman says something that's not totally correct, we jump all over it, because as football fans, that's what we do.
Chris, can you think of a more underwhelming signing at the time who has gone on? God, I can think of some more underwhelming signings, but not that have gone on to be brilliant piece. I don't think so. Because the thing with Tyrone Mings is, you know, you weren't expecting anything from that, and we weren't in a crazy League One promotion battle. So to Chris's question there, no, I think Luongo has to be one of the most surprisingly useful. So if someone in the chat can name a more surprisingly useful sign-in, then I'll read it out, but I can't think of one.
No, I can't. No, he came in as a bit of a box-ticking exercise, we thought, because Don Ball just got injured in the November game, the crazy 4-4 draw at Charlton, didn't he? He got injured, and we kind of thought, well, Luongo will come in until he's back, or he'll just sort of see us do a job. Maybe we'll sign somebody in the window with a bit more razzmatazz and stuff. But he was absolutely excellent. We all know his record. We didn't see him for 6 weeks, 8 weeks. He made an appearance against Burnley and crushed somebody in a 50-50 challenge, and then he's never looked back and fully deserving of the new contract. So all I can think of maybe under no yeah not in terms of underwhelming, everyone we signed sort of for the last few years was very much a kind of, you know, a bit of a journeyman at times, weren't they?
Where was this one I wanted to read here? Who leaves on loan, says Charlie. Can you see anyone going out on loan now? We think, I suppose, the Dapo's already gone from the striker position. No one seems to be coming in any other spots. I don't know. Does anybody?
Maybe just a dumb ball. Want to go and play some football? I mean, I guess where are we at? We must be still one in, one out. We're unregistered Ladapo, so we must have one space sort of free in the squad. And if we want to make two signings, somebody else will have to be deregistered or dropped out. He might want to go and play football for 6 months. Danasian would be one I might think move on, but he's got this groin injury that won't clear up. So other than that, I can't really think of anybody else that would look to move on. And when you hear, you know, George Edmondson was coming out, wasn't he, in the press when he was linked with the Portsmouth game, and he kind of said, why would anybody want to leave this fantastic club?
He's been quality the last couple of games as well, Sam.
Exactly. He kind of shows players that you might get a chance. You have to be ready for it. But if you take it, you know, look how he's been since he came in with Stoke away. He's not looked back. And there's now a conversation around, does Burgess get back in or is Edmondson got the shirt? I think he's got the shirt moving forward. So a couple of the fringe players who might be thinking, I'm not getting any game time here, maybe a Cameron Humphreys, they might have to be ready, because all it can take is one injury, one suspension. Suddenly it's your chance. And if you do well, you might well stay in the team.
Is there another Blue Monday live event being planned this season? Unlikely, Romeo, but not impossible. It's a lot of work for us putting them on. It's pretty expensive, let's just say, to kind of host those things. Although I would say, and I've said this before on the pod, Seb, it's pretty much the best thing we do. It's great doing the pod, but it's just different level having, you know, actually people there. And Luke Chambers was just a star. So we've got a high bar to meet, and we would want to do that justice. So what have we got here? Jacob, what's your prediction for Ipswich Maidstone? Do you reckon Maidstone could get a goal at least? I'm a proponent of Maidstone being allowed to score a goal in this, or even take the lead, but we should win by two, shouldn't we, Seb? Famous last words.
Yeah, I've got us down to win by three. I've either got a 3-0, or like you say, I wouldn't mind giving them a goal. So I'll be happy with a 3-1 or a 4-1.
Give them a second series.
Let them have the celebration of the goal. But let's be professional, get the job done, and we can then look to rest players. So I'll go 4-1 with Maidstone. Yeah, give them the opener, because then the fans will go crazy. They won't want a consolation at 4-0, will they? So give them the opener. Let's see the Cobbold go crazy, and then we'll turn up and do the business, hopefully.
Matt, who may be a chef, looking at his avatar there. With the Morsi inevitable suspension now done and the nasty run of league matches behind us, does this now feel like a fresh restart for us to build some momentum and keep pushing on? That's a big hopefully yes for me, Seb.
Very much so, but I'm not entirely sure Sam Morsi's league suspensions are done for this season. I think is it game 37, game 38 is where the 15 game suspension, 15 card suspension rule is lifted. So I wouldn't be that surprised if he gets five more and sits out a 3-match ban, which is presumably why Travis has been brought in as well, with an eye to possibly that happening. What did Warnock say in the Sky Studios? Sam Morsi could get booked in an empty room by himself. So I wouldn't be that surprised if he sits out with a 3-game match at some point. But yes, the momentum is there. They're going away with the last minute equaliser by Sarmiento on Monday can only boost, you know, confidence further. We've just looked at the fixture list. There are some games there that we can really look to turn up at and really look to get some points on the board. And yeah, it will build for the run in starting probably middle of March.
If someone could smarten me up, the only Boller I know is Mark Boller. He used to play for Middlesbrough, and I'm sure
that's him, the left back. Yeah, he's out in Turkey.
Okay,
I think he's out in Turkey at the moment. I think I read somewhere. So I think they clearly want some cover, don't they, for Leif Davis? Hence the Marvin Johnson links with Sheffield Wednesday, whilst Brandon Williams' future is up in the air. So it sounds like they do want to bring somebody in to cover that position, which makes sense given the crucial part of the pitch that it is. And he's the latest one today. I've got no idea regarding a fee. What was he like at Borough from your time covering the Championship? What kind of a player is he? As an able deputy, presumably?
I think so. I'm trying to remember because they had so many. I think he was there with Warnock, actually, which goes back to your last conversation. And Warnock is notorious for going in and literally everybody, even if you're in the blooming youth team, if you train well, he'll just play you. So it can be a bit random with Warnock sometimes. But the proof's in the pudding, isn't it? And he's kind of drifted away. I need to do some research. Fair shout here. Someone says Humphrey's out on loan. That's a possibility, isn't it?
Somebody in to cover Davis, you know, with Williams' future up in the air, Danasian's groin injury. I think it's too risky to load him out whilst we have nobody to step up in case Davis gets suspended or injured.
Do we see Williams back? I assume the break clause, you know, would allow us to just send him back if it wasn't going to happen, which would be so crushingly disappointed. Speaking of the Blue Monday live show, when he was our best player there and flavour of the month and everyone was loving him.
Yeah, it was brilliant, wasn't he? That spell he had in October, the goal he scored where he runs the distance of the pitch, the equaliser away at Huddersfield. He kind of turned up in some really big moments. We don't know, you know, speculation, but we don't know the ins and outs of it. McKenna kind of changed his tone a little bit, I thought, last weekend. Previously, it was a, we'd love to see him back, hopefully after he's been assessed by the Man United guys. But this weekend, after the, or after the Leicester game, I think it was, or maybe pre-Leicester, he said that, you know, we'll hopefully get him back if he's fit enough, but we're not sure he'll be able to do that. So it does sound like the tone has changed, and maybe we'll just see an announcement that he's going to go back to United for the second half of the season, in which case we'll have to get somebody in to cover that left-hand side, because his versatility is so useful, isn't it? The fact he can cover both left and right means you can shift Harry Clarke across, or you can put him on the left-hand side. And it's a shame because, you know, he was becoming a real cult hero really quickly, wasn't he? You know, we've all seen the gif of him smashing into the was it a Blackburn player, and then getting up and laughing and stuff. So it's a real shame that it's worked out this way, but we'll have to see what comes in the next 7 days of the window.
Right, trigger warning. We're going to talk about VAR quickly, Seb. And before I say this, nobody is right or wrong about this. I'm not right. You're not wrong. You're not right. I'm not wrong. But Rob asked, thoughts on VAR at some FA Cup games, but not others. My opinion is steadfast, Seb. You give referees as much help as you possibly can in every situation where you possibly can. I know lots of people don't like it and disagree with me. That's my take. I'm perfectly happy for VAR to be wherever they can put it. What say you?
I'll be honest, my take is the opposite to you. I think if you can't do it in all the games in the competition, it shouldn't be allowed in any of them. I think you have to have a fair rule that covers the entire competition.
No, fair enough.
But I will agree with your thing and your view and not shout at you because we're adults.
Oh, how about that? We are on the internet here, Seb, so I think you might have just broken the internet code. You now have to insult my character and never speak to me again. Do you think that we've Reading Tractor, do you think that we finally got decent value for money out of Caden Jackson? He cost close to $2 million, but it's not all about goals, is it? Great character. I don't think we ever got it. It's really harsh because you're speaking after the fact about someone who came in, what was it? So it's her season, 2018.
Yeah.
The worst transfer window in our history, we often say, with Waghorn and Webster and McGoldrick and Selina all out, and yeah, some Paul Hurst. By the way, someone commented there, Paul Hurst, full He's circle, back. Shrewsbury manager again. But I think it's very easy to say after the club has been successful with Jackson still there, but not necessarily behaving. I mean, he costs more than Nathan Broadhead, we think. He costs more than Harry Clarke, more than
Connor Chaplin,
Sam Morsy, etc. And you would argue. And by the way, I love the story. I love that he's still there. And I love that we've got a manager clever enough, after several managers haven't been able to get him to do something useful. But I don't think you can say we got £2 million worth of value, can you?
I don't think so, personally. No, I mean, the fee isn't his fault. You know, Accrington were always going to hold out for as much money as they could possibly get at the time, and our lack of a proper footballing structure meant we paid over the odds after we got some money in for Waghorn moving on. I mean, like you say, it's a great story. He's been binned off, what, two or three times in the past, training with reserves.
Every transfer window, Steph.
Training with the reserves, squad number removed, and he's done well and fought his way back. And as of tonight, the 25th of January, he is our leading striker in a championship promotion race, which shows, you know, anything can be done. So, yeah, fair play to him for still hanging around. I don't think he's worth the what was it? Yeah, 1.8, 1.9 million quid we ended up paying for him. But it's a testament to him as a character, him as a professional, how hard he has worked, how McKenna has obviously clearly, you know, seen something. He's spoken in the past, hasn't he, that McKenna's the first manager who kind of focuses on what he can do rather than what he can't do. And yeah, as I said, he is currently the man up front to shoot us to the Premier League. So fair play. But I don't think we'll ever get the full value of the 2 million quid fee. Unless he scores 10 goals between now and the end of the season that results in us getting promoted at that point, I will happily doff my cap.
Yep, me too. Can you get Barry from EastEnders on the post-match? All I can think of is that scene in Extras. Am I allowed to use the the W-A-N-K word on here? Probably not. Are you a... But yeah, and there's a very good outtake of that where they can't do it without...
I like the one where he... Do you remember the one where he's talking about dignity and he's just... He walks away from the sweets at the thing and all the sweets start falling out of his shell suit. It's a good 10 seconds of just sweet after sweet hitting the floor after he's given a speech about dignity and stuff. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Sensational. Paul P, what are your thoughts on Taylor? Are we not using him right or was he overhyped a bit? I mean, he was only overhyped by Darren McAntony, wasn't he? I think we were kind of saying he's going to be the £50 million player or what have you. My thoughts on Taylor, if I can go first, Seb, are that there's definitely something there. We really, and this goes back to the Luongo conversation, we really could have done with having him for his benefit for the whole season right through League One. And I think this might look a bit different now. I do maintain, if we'd have signed him in January, I don't think Luongo would have kicked the ball for us, potentially. I think he would have been... He would have been the guy. My contention is that his skill set, in terms of the two things he's best at, are taking long range shots and arriving in the... Three things, let me say. Arriving in the box late, that works. But driving from midfield aren't really what we do as such. So he's going to have to make a couple of tweaks to his game. But I think as an athlete and a technician, I think he's got what it takes. I think it's just taking a bit of time for him to click into the kind of McKenna thing. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think he was really good when he came off the bench against Leicester. Obviously, you were there on Monday night. I thought he looked decent when he came on. He really looked to kind of get us going. It's a new role, I guess, he's having to learn, isn't he, with this side. And as you say, the things he was perhaps expected to do at Peterborough in their central midfield isn't really how our central midfielders play. But, you know, he's young. We spent a fee on him, so he's certainly not going to be one, I don't think, that's discarded anytime soon. Like you say, he probably would have benefited from that 6 months at the back end of last season going into a full championship campaign. But yeah, we see moments from him that, you know, he stands out. The long range goals, obviously the long range shots are what you really kind of like, the sexy stuff that he can bring to the party. And he'll have to keep working on things to look to kind of cement that position next to Morsy. But for now, Luongo is the first choice. And we've seen when one of Luongo or Morsy drops out, we do see a drop off, and it's up to Taylor to step up and make sure that doesn't happen.
Nobody has the 10 card amnesty passed. No, that's quite a way down. Isn't that like Easter or something?
No, that must be the 15 one, isn't it? Is that the 15
is it?
One?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Beg your pardon. There's definitely another amnesty that kind of takes us then into the playoffs, isn't there?
I think so, yeah. I'm not entirely sure of the dates. But yeah, Travis is on 8. I think Luongo's on 7, maybe 8 now, because he got booked on the for the Leicester game as well. So yeah, we might well see another suspension, which again, going back to the previous chat about letting squad members go, you might want to keep somebody like a Dom Ball in and around the building in case you've got to fill in for these upcoming suspensions.
Tremendous. I just wanted to read this last one here. Stephen, would you do a show together live at Portman Road with Life's a Pitch TV? Of course we would. And we've got a good relationship with Phil from TWTD, who we did a few kind of cross-pollinations there, and we'll be completely transparent. That was Phil's phone book that that got the guests and not necessarily ours. So, yeah, very, very, very much so. Although I think they've got enough stardust on their shows without inviting any of us along. But if we could put the two audiences together, I'm sure there's plenty of crossover, but that would be just lovely. And I think that would be just lovely for tonight, Seb. Just give Steve a shout out, who was absolutely brilliant. And I hope he has a great day and can celebrate at least a goal at the weekend.
Yeah, phenomenal. Brilliant insight from Steve. Make sure you check out the reaction show after the Ipswich game. It's the Stones Aged podcast. He's on Twitter, at Steve Helmsley, S. Helmsley, I think it was, but we'll give him a shout out and a retweet after this. Brilliant insight from him.
Helmsley.
And great to hear the... Helmsley, sorry. And great Helmsley. To hear the... Hemsley, sorry. I'm doing the Asante Thomas thing again, aren't I, on the flagship, where I kept calling him Asante Thomas or Thomas Asante and getting it all the wrong way around. It wouldn't be a pre-match show without the host shouting at me for my pronunciation, so we've ticked that one off as well. But great insight from him. Great to hear from the opposition, and I really hope they have a great day out at Portman Road on Saturday.
I'm not being mean. Seb asked me to correct him, I promise, and we promised Steve that we'd get his name right on the show after I repeated it about 800 times in front of his face. Guys, thank you so, so much for joining us. Amazing numbers as ever on a Thursday night with Maidstone coming to town. It just shows how magical this time has been and how great this team has been and how awesome you lot are. Before you leave us, do make sure you hit the thumbs up button on your way out. Do make sure you check David Diamond on TalkSport, or is it TalkSport 2 tonight?
It's very late, isn't it? It's yeah, he's going live
at half 11.
Half 11 tonight, yeah, half 11. And then he's back on the flagship, obviously, on Saturday. It's Rich, Joe and Dave back for the flagship, focusing on Mason on Sunday.
Amazing stuff. Check out Rich's interview with the fabulous Natasha Thomas. And yeah, the flagship Saturday night, yeah?
No, sorry, Sunday. I don't know why.
Sunday night.
There you go. Normal Sunday
service. At the normal time. Basically, disregard around half of everything we've said in the last minute, but not the last hour. Seb, I've loved doing these two preview shows with you. A little bit of a switch up. Pleasure to talk to you.
Best host we've ever had on the pre-match show. Thanks.
That's absolutely tremendous. And a brilliant way to end, and the correct way to end this Blue Monday podcast.
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.